Cinnamon, where you gonna run to? Cinnamon, where you gonna run to? Where you gonna run to? All on that day.
Hello and welcome to The Breakdown, brought to you by The Nation Magazine and TheNation.com. I'm Chris Hayes, Washington editor of The Nation. Each week here on The Breakdown, we take your questions via Twitter at Chris L. Hayes or via email at TheBreakdown@TheNation.com. The way it works is this. You send us questions about what's perplexing you this week in Washington, and we try to break it down.
Will I run to the rock? Please hide me, I run to the rock. Please hide me, I run to the rock. Please hide me, Lord.
Hello, welcome back to The Breakdown, Week 47, Episode 47 in a collector series. This week's question comes from William Schubert via Twitter. His Twitter handle is Software Diplomat, without the first A in software. And he says, at what rate have revenues generated from corporate taxes declined historically? And what, if anything, can be done to reverse this trend? We actually got a number of questions about corporate taxes. And I think part of the reason is there's a campaign in the UK called UK Uncut, in which, in response to the Conservative government's austerity measures, a bunch of activists and members of civil society have pointed to tax evasion on the part of large corporations, specifically Vodafone, which has a massive unpaid tax bill. There's a U.S. version called U.S. Uncut, and people have been doing similar things, pointing out the lack of payment of corporate taxes by large corporate entities and pointing to collection of those taxes as an alternate means of closing budget deficits in the states and at the federal level. So to answer the question about the corporate tax rate, I have, I would say, the foremost expert on taxes, David K. Johnston, a Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative journalist, author of numerous books. He worked at the New York Times. He is the author of Free Lunch, How the Wealthiest Americans Enrich Themselves at Government Expense and Stick You with the Bill. David, thanks for joining us on The Breakdown.
Well, thank you for having me on.
So let's talk about the corporate tax rate. You hear conservatives a lot like to talk about, Greg Mank, you had this on this blog the other day, how we have, compared to other OECD countries, a very high corporate tax rate, and that's a problem. Do we have higher corporate tax rates, and is that a problem?
Well, if you look at the statutory rate, it's a higher rate than other countries have. When you look at the real tax rates, not at all. The 1,900 largest companies in America, they all have $2.5 billion of assets or more. So all the big brand name companies we think of, General Electric, Home Depot, companies like that, they paid in federal income taxes 14.7% of their profits in 2008. The companies just below them that are smaller paid higher rates. They paid 15% on their profits. So, no, it's not high when you look at the actual performance of how the system works. And what the folks you mentioned ignore is that we increasingly have a system in which taxes that you are forced to pay by law through a company, when you pay your utility bill, when you buy gasoline because it's all shipped through pipelines, when you boil water because your natural gas comes through pipelines, when you shop at a retail store that's owned by one of the new big box companies like Home Depot or Walmart, the companies get to pocket these taxes. They do not go to the government. The companies get to keep them to pay for buildings or to enhance their profits.
Wait a second. That just blew my mind. What does that mean? When I pay for sales tax at, you know, at a Home Depot to buy a shovel, right? And there's a, you know, in D.C., it's, what is it, 9% or something? You're saying Home Depot just holds on to that money?
It depends on, I mean, each store is different. Walmart has said that at about a third of its stores, it makes this kind of a deal. And big box retailers, when they're new, do this all over the place. And what happens is, say you wanted, Chris, you wanted to give up journalism and go into business, and you're going to own Chris Hayes Hardware Store.
It's going to be awesome. Okay.
You're going to have to save the money. You're going to have to rent a location at your own expense out of your profits or your savings, or buy a location. But if you're Home Depot or Lowe's or Walmart, you go to the local county or city government or whoever runs the economic development agency and say, hey, we'd like this piece of land. We want you to use your power of eminent domain to get that piece of land for a song. Then we'll have a builder put up a building which you're going to own, local government, and lease to us. The lease payments will be made by using the sales tax dollars. So we're going to steal this money from the schools and the police and the fire departments. When the bonds that built the store paid off, you're going to sell us back the store for $1. Now, you don't have to have it at every store. If you have it at one out of three stores, you've just enormously lowered your cost of capital, and that's why local entrepreneurial businesses are being destroyed. You don't hear this in the news media. You don't hear it from the far right, which is funded principally by billionaires, the kind of people who are paying very, very low taxes.
So let's talk about the trend level, because, okay, you know, we have a gap between what our statutory corporate tax rate is, which is in the 30s, right? 31% or something like that?
35%.
35%. And what's actually collected, which you said for the biggest 2,000 companies, was about 15% of profits, right?
Less than 15%. That's exactly.
Okay, so we got this gap. One of the things, and we'll put this chart up, there's been also over time a decline in the percentage of the government's revenue that comes from corporate taxes. So it seems like corporations have gotten better at avoiding taxes over time. What accounts for that?
Well, first of all, we have put in place all sorts of rules that redefine income. And most of these rules benefit people at the top and they benefit large corporations. So in 1971, you know, way back when Richard Nixon was still in his first term, corporate income taxes were 2.5% of the economy. 2.5%. Now they're down to...
Just to clarify, 2.5% of GDP, of the total economy.
That's correct, right. Of the total economy. Corporate income taxes were 2.5%. Now they're down to 1.3%. And in 2009, they were only 1%. They've come down dramatically. And so we are increasingly reducing the tax burden on corporations. And then we passed special rules. You remember we had the 2004 Jobs Creation Act, where companies brought home several hundred billion dollars and paid only a 5% tax rate on it. And the promise was it would lead to all these jobs. And the estimates given by the Republicans sponsoring this was 660,000 jobs would be created. Well, I've shown from the announcements of these companies and their filings that, in fact, more than 100,000 jobs were destroyed. The minute they got this money home, they got rid of people. Pfizer, which was the single biggest beneficiary, it saved over $11 billion in taxes, fired 40,000 of its workers after it got this tax break.
So it seems to me like there's a combination of two things here. One is that the tax law, as actually passed by Congress and signed into law by the president over the years, has created all sorts of carve-outs and loopholes and special breaks and so forth that have significantly lowered the actual rate that corporations pay. And then it also seems like at the same time that corporations have come up with new and better ways of avoiding those taxes. It seems to me that I'm constantly learning about increasingly Byzantine, complicated schemes to have pass-through corporations that are incorporated in Bermuda and then move money through these different places, and the money pings around the globe, kind of avoiding taxes the whole time.
Here's one of the things that happens. Companies put money offshore. They take their profits in the Cayman Islands, for example, and then they borrow in the U.S. using the money in the Cayman Islands as collateral to the bankers, creating a tax deduction in the U.S. I say that lowers their taxes. My colleague Marty Sullivan at Tax.com, where a lot of my columns get posted at Tax.com, has done analyses you can read there for free, showing that when you look at the profitability of corporations, all the big industrial countries, when you line them up, are all about the same. They're within a few percentage points. And then there's the Cayman Islands and Bermuda, and they're like being in the middle of a wheat field that has a sequoia suddenly appearing out of nowhere, reaching hundreds of feet into the air. Next week at Tax.com, I will have a column about Warren Buffett's latest scheme to take your tax dollars and put them into his pocket, and how he appears to be on the verge of succeeding in doing this. I call it the Tax Heists Enriching Financial Titans Act, or theft for short.
Well, okay, so here's the question, right? So there's a lot of complicated schemes that are done. We know that, you know, there's this kind of economy of influence in Washington that allows it to happen. People don't pay attention. There's, you know, corporations raise a lot of money for politicians. They then get paid back, in a manner of speaking, through the tax code. I think there's a certain line of thinking from the right, particularly, and I've seen some people on the left adopt it, which basically says, let's throw the whole thing out. Corporate taxes have become so rifled through with loopholes. It's such Swiss cheese. And it's kind of double taxation anyway, because, you know, it's theoretically taxing the shareholders. Let's get rid of it and just deal with income tax and go after it that way. And that's going to be less susceptible to all these loopholes. I wonder what you make of that argument.
Well, there are two very simple ways to address that. You know, there's lots of data showing that in the early 1980s, the police in a number of jurisdictions did an awful job of finding murderers. And between, depending on the jurisdiction, 75 to 90% of murderers in some big cities were not caught. So I guess the solution, when there's all of these loopholes in how the murderers situation is working, is to just stop making murder a crime, right? I mean, that's the kind of logic that's being applied. Here's the other problem. If you don't tax corporations, you cannot have an individual income tax. Now, if you're a wage earner, that may seem very strange. But imagine for a moment that you own Chris Hayes Mega Corporation. You already have all these benefits of ownership. You have a private jet. The company supplies you with this, and you charge it off as a business expense. And if you are the Koch brothers with all your extensive business interests, there's nowhere you go that it isn't a business expense.
Right.
you will build up a huge fortune inside the company that will never be taxed, and there's no pressure on you to be productive. Now, a better approach to this is, if you're a small business owner, you own, you know, a bunch of McDonald's or hardware stores, and you retain a lot of earnings in cash and don't spend them, the tax law says the government can tax you on that. It can force you to either pay it out, so it gets taxed, or tax you on it as if you did. Well, we don't do that to big companies. And big companies in America right now have $2 trillion in cash sitting on their books. $2 trillion. They're not investing the money. They're not creating jobs with it. They're not taking any risks with it. It's just sitting there. And in fact, I just did an analysis that shows for every dollar that those 1,900 biggest corporations, the big mega corporations in America, for every dollar that those companies paid in federal income taxes, they have $14 in cash lying around being useless.
That's really remarkable. So you're saying we can, if there is the political will, it's not some sort of theoretical obstacle. Not only can we enforce a tax code, it could actually be designed to incentivize and produce more productive investment.
Correct. And then let me make a second point. We would have more jobs if we raised corporate taxes. Now, that is totally contrary to anything you've heard for years, right? Probably your entire lifetime,
yes.
Chris. But in fact, here's what happens. Imagine your spouse or partner comes home one day and you're Mr. Mega, rich guy with a big company, and says, sweetheart, I just have to have this Modigliani painting, and it's $85 million. You know, you want to have a happy married life, I get this painting. Well, under the old tax law, there was a 50% corporate tax rate, which means you had to pull $170 million out of your company. And you're going to reasonably say to your spouse, as mine did to me when we did this as a game, are you out of your mind? Do you realize how much that will destroy our future well-being? Do you realize how many jobs you were effectively destroying by withdrawing that much money from them? Absolutely not. And then I said to my wife, well, who's an executive, well, sweetheart, imagine the tax rate, what it is now, 15%. So I only have to withdraw $100 million from the business. And she went, oh, well, that's not such a bad deal, $15 million. Okay, I mean, I don't think it's a good idea, but okay, it'll make you happy, darling. Well, every time you withdraw money from businesses for these unproductive purposes, for what John McCain couldn't remember if he had 7 or 9 mansions, remember that, or his wife did, for Modigliani paintings that have gone up enormously in value with no relationship to anything else going on in the market, every time you withdraw capital from these businesses, you're destroying jobs. So a higher tax rate forces company owners to reinvest in the business. It says to them, you better have a really good reason to withdraw money from this business. Keep growing your business. A low tax rate says, hey, you made a bunch of money. Go have fun.
Cash out.
That's right.
Wow. David K. Johnson is a Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative journalist. He writes a column at tax.com, which we will link to. He also is teaching a course right now at the Syracuse University College of Law called Property and Tax from Ancient Athens to Modern America, which if I were a student at that school, I would be enrolling in. It sounds like it's awesome. David, thanks so much for joining us on The Breakdown.
Thank you.
The Breakdown is a weekly production of The Nation Magazine and TheNation.com. New audiocasts are posted each Friday at TheNation.com and available on iTunes. The Breakdown was produced by Ryan Rafferty and yours truly. Senior producers at The Nation are Frank Reynolds and Emily Douglas. Comments and feedback should be sent to TheBreakdown@TheNation.com.
Oh, Cinnamon, where you gonna run to? Cinnamon, where you gonna run to? We're gonna run to